Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The man who makes his play, Jerry Reed, Eastbound and Down, is his intro music and makes me cry almost every time I hear it. It's Tim May from Letterman Row. Hello, Tim.
Timmy.
Hello, Jeff, but you got the story wrong there. If I had my pick, it'd be Bat Out of Hell by Meatloaf.
Yes.
On Cleveland International Records.
Oh, that's one of the best albums
by the way,
ever.
By the way, I'm still in Meredith, but I'm still a little bit upset that I got bumped on Friday. But I've got Kleenex available here, so I'm good.
Tim, if I had been here, you wouldn't have been bumped.
Heck no, I wouldn't. That's right. You understand.
That's right.
Tim, I would have drove to Bloomington to... Did you go to the game, by the way? I probably should ask. Did you go?
You understand what moves the needle?
Exactly.
Yes. Tim, did you go to Bloomington on Sunday or no? Saturday? Sorry.
No, I did not. I have this contractual obligation with 97.1 The Fan to be part of the tailgate show. And it's great for the home games, but whatever, you know. I get to go to the... Can go to the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. Might be able to do it in Michigan in a few weeks, but pretty much I have to be on set, so to speak.
It is very weird to listen to these post game press conferences and not hear you ask the first question. I just want you to know that.
Thank you very much.
You are the Helen Thomas of Ohio State football.
Well, thank you very much. All that hormone therapy I've gotten.
Yeah, that's great. So we were just chatting about this, and. You'll have so much more.
Chatting about my hormone therapy?
Your hormone, yeah. You'll have so much more insight into this than I do, and maybe even Andy. I watch Ohio State football, and I just think, the other day I tuned in late. I was working. I tuned in late, and I saw the score was 54-7 already. And I just thought, this is why we need a super conference. Would a super conference work?
No.
In college football?
No, I mean, see, That's what everybody gets wrong about this idea.
Tell me, please tell me.
Do you really want Alabama playing Ohio State, playing Georgia, playing? Yeah, let's still throw Clemson in there, although Clemson's fading fast. Playing Oklahoma, playing Oregon.
Yes, I do.
Every
Notre
week
Dame.
Meeting,
I do.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. Playing Notre Dame. Playing maybe throw Michigan back in there since they're undefeated now. But do you really want those guys just playing each other every week and one of those teams ending up with four losses and the other, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't, you know, people say that's what they want, but I don't believe that's what they want. I mean, what they want is they want a playoff at the end of the year that they think, in my opinion, that satisfies who is the best team in the country. I think with four teams the last many years since 2014, that has worked. You know, this idea is you're going to throw – 12, well, that's getting shot down as we speak, I'm sure. But even 8 would you know, I could go for 8. But, no, you don't want – you think you want that, but you don't want that. You know, if you're an athletic director running a program, big-time program, you definitely don't want that. You know, I mean, Ohio State's having trouble selling out games this year as it is. And they're ranked number what, 4 or 5 in the country. I mean, that's pretty strange when you think they played in front of a sellout crowd, I think, on Saturday night. Although by the middle of the second quarter, after the rain came, both the rain of terror by Ohio State and the rain of precipitation by Mother Nature, the place looked like it was half empty. You know, everybody went home. But you know, that's, no, you don't. You think you want that, but you don't. It's not the NFL.
But Tim, here's the last 3 weeks. Big Ten games, 52-13, 66-17, 54-7. That doesn't do anybody any good except the checking accounts at Ohio State because they're selling tickets. Does it?
Well, that's the point. I mean, they haven't sold out games yet.
Maybe they would if they were more competitive. I want to see Oklahoma.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Ohio State was favored by what? 10 or 11 over Oregon, but got beat. But then the next, the last 4 weeks, they haven't been favored by more than, I think, 20 or 21. They're just right now. I mean, if you go by the point spread, and granted, I mean, they played lesser teams, but they beat them worse than they were supposed to beat them. So, you know, that's college football. You do have big time games. You know, Alabama doesn't play. Well, it's good they don't play Texas A&M every week or they'd really be in trouble. But, you know, that's just college football, man. And I don't know how to explain it to you other than that. I mean, yeah, let's say Ohio State plays Alabama, Oregon, and Georgia 3 weeks in a row and gets beat 50-49, 30-29, and 20-19. That'd be the Georgia game probably. You know what I mean? Based on what we're looking at right now. You would be happy?
I think I'd love to see real great competition every week.
You, Tim, as maybe a fan with no vested interest in it, would be possibly entertained.
That's true, Tim.
Because football is all about factions. College football is all about fanaticism. It's all about rooting for your home team. I mean, that's, you know, it's not the NFL.
Tim, I love you, man. But a couple empty seats. You can tell me Ohio State can't make that up. And so, and this is amazing to me. You want to make the money back up? Just sell that license on everything else. I'm just looking at one thing. And it's just like, you can buy auto accessories with Ohio State logo on it, barbecue grilling, bed and bath, cell phone accessories, collectibles.
I can use a grill.
Flags and banners, Grove supplies. I don't even know what Grove supplies are. I mean, I don't know that missing a few empty seats in the shoe, which you know, I think we all take great pride in the fact that Ohio State can pack the house for the spring game, but they can figure out other ways to make more money on it. Here's my bigger, and I think the reason that I'm led to the question in the first place is I can't figure out if this defense is really getting better every week. And I want to think that, okay, well, once they went to Matt Barnes and Kerry kind of stepped aside, which I think is a phenomenal story as far as play calling, but I want to know, is this defense really better, Tim? Are they really better after playing these last four games?
They haven't. I mean, they've done more than just change who calls the sets. I mean, they. By the way, I don't believe in calling them defensive plays. I believe in calling them defensive sets.
Okay.
But occasionally they do blitz. I guess that would be a play. But number two, they have changed up some things schematically. Obviously, I mean, they're playing almost all day with two deep safeties now instead of one. Occasionally, get into that one deep safety. They have changed some other things about the way they're using their bullet even better. I'm talking about Ronnie Hickman and or Craig Young, but here's what you just judge. I mean, did they, for the last 3 weeks, have they pretty much throttled or shut down the other team's offense, which the only chances those teams had against Ohio State was to score a bunch of points? The answer to that question is yes. Even against Tulsa, they played pretty damn well against Tulsa. This defense has played pretty well from the late third quarter against Tulsa on. You know, they have gotten some things straight. They're playing with more confidence. Guys are lining up correctly. They're flying to the ball. You've got a couple, three or four guided missiles now flying to the ball on that defense. And you're seeing the defensive front get better because some of these offensive lines they played against the last several weeks, like Rutgers, even Maryland, you know, Indiana's claim to fame for its offense was its offensive line for the most part. And I thought Ohio State defensive front dominated the other night. So, yeah, you can, if you watch it closely, you can definitely see improvement. You can definitely see the confidence. A lot of young guys who were playing in the first and second weeks for the first few times, have gained over the last several weeks. Yeah, you know, these other teams are going to have, you know, going to have some plays that are going to work. That's the way football works. But there's no doubt that this defense has gotten better even as they've blown people out.
So if they played Oregon today, you'd feel much more confident than you did week two. Like, I remember going in that Rutgers game, I was like, you know, Rutgers defense isn't so bad. Greg Schiano's done a nice job there. And I listened to Greg talk about it before the game and about how, you know, everything's going to start with the defense and our defense has really stepped up the last couple of weeks. And I was like, okay, this Rutgers game is going to be all right. Next thing you know, it's 52-13.
Well, that's because Ohio State has maybe pound for pound, relatively speaking. I'm not saying it's the best offensive line in school history, but it's the best offensive line right now, relatively speaking, to who they're playing against. They're dominating up front. I mean, I always tell people, if you want to watch a football game, at least this is the way I watch a football game, and definitely early, is I watch it from the inside out, man. I watch who is getting it done on the line of scrimmage. And Ohio State, yeah, gave up that first drive the other night against Indiana for a touchdown, but then Indiana didn't score again, you know? And, yeah, they lost their quarterback, and they were playing with a guy I'd never even heard of at one point, the Grimmel kid. But the bottom line is Ohio State took control of that game and strangled it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. When you score that many points, the other team gets desperate, things like that. There are all kinds of dynamics involved in a football game that can make your defense look even better. And the way Ohio State jumped out on those guys with that what was it, 37 points in the second quarter, that's crazy. And that's what changes games. But back to what you're saying, yeah, I mean, there's evidence that the Ohio State defense has gotten better just watching them play. In other words, would they beat Oregon? I don't know, but I don't think they would get snookered three straight times by a left-end sweep where all Oregon did was change a few nuances where everybody got caught up in the flow. I don't see that happening. I know, but I don't.
Yeah.
But you can't go back and replay that game.
No, you're right.
You can't learn from it.
Yeah.
And they clearly learned from it. And Ryan Day got into the defensive staff room and demanded and made changes. And there's no doubt they've played much better on defense since, like I said, like the late third quarter of the Tulsa game on. They've been a totally different looking defense.
All right. So this is my favorite Ohio State argument right now. And it's a generational argument. And I want you, I don't know if you can settle it, but I want to hear your thoughts on it. I love Chris Olave. I think he's, you know, do we agree he's going to be a first rounder? I don't think there's any question about that being a first round draft pick in the NFL coming up.
I don't know. NFL teams do goofy things sometimes.
I'll buy that. But the whole David Boston versus Chris Olave argument, I think, is fascinating when you talk to guys who played in the eras. If you had to do a draft of a guy in his prime, would you take Olave or would you take David Boston?
I would take both of them. Answer that question. Just like with David Boston, you had D. Miller sitting there. You know, D. Miller was a pretty damn good receiver. When you talk about David Boston in 1996 as a freshman, you know, you had Demetrius Stanley. Matter of fact, I had Stanley on my podcast last week, just talking about the very thing you're talking about. You know, in his opinion, he's never seen a receiver at Ohio State better than Terry Glenn in 1995, and I would agree with that. That picture of Terry Glenn jumping up to catch a pass at Penn State and Joe Paterno looking up at him and his feet are about at the same height as Joe Paterno's eyes. I mean, that's just a microcosm of what he was all about till he got hurt in the game at Minnesota that year. And then, of course, I contended the best overall receiver I've ever covered at Ohio State was Chris Carter. And I don't think there's a lot of people, maybe some people would argue that, but just the way he could make plays, make catches, and be fast enough when he needed to be fast. I mean, just a great combo. There have been some great receivers come through this place. Chris Olave is one of those guys.
Hey, and here's my next question for you. I'm glad you brought up Chris Carter. Is it true that the dispatch was having trouble with their H's on the original press when they were trying to spell his name, and that's why Chris Carter doesn't use an H in his name? It's just C-R-I-S. Is that true?
No, he showed up that way.
C-R-I-S.
It's funny how people, all you got to, you know, really, in this world, all you got to do is Google it. You know what I mean? That's all you got to do. Just Google it. Because there was a Chris Carter, remember, from played offensive line from what Cleveland school was he from? I can't remember. C-H-R-I-S. So there you go.
I know, we're going through the memory bank. All right, last question for me. As we watch C.J. Stroud, and I listen to him after every game, then the kid just gets more confident, more mature, more. I mean, he had a couple passes. He had like one or two passes. I was like, eh. But otherwise, I am so impressed with him. Like, I don't feel like he's a freshman. I watch him. I go out there every week. Are you impressed the way I'm impressed? And do you think he is, no matter who the opponent is, he just becomes more mature in every game?
Yeah, he just made his sixth start. You know, he's missed one game because of the letting his shoulder get its, quote, supernatural healing, end quote. I still haven't gotten to ask him that question about that. But there's no doubt. I mean, you know, people are just, it's just crazy. People are so quick to judge. And I know that's no bulletin, you know. But, you know, this guy made his first start at Minnesota in the rain, you know. And they ended up winning 45-31, you know, and that wasn't good enough. And then, of course, against Oregon, he threw for 484 yards, but did have some problems, you know, picks, et cetera, in that game. They get beat 35-28, and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's playing with a bad shoulder. Anybody can see that, and we kept asking about it, and nothing, you know, finally they set him down versus Akron, and then Kyle McCord steps in, looks pretty good, but doesn't look as good as C.J. Stroud. And then C.J. Stroud's taken it by the horns since then. It's really funny because today he was named the Big Ten Freshman of the Week for the fifth time, which is catching up to J.T. Barrett's seven times in 2014, who a quarterback of some repute for Ohio State. But, yeah, he's getting better every time he goes out there. He threw a couple of passes he wanted back and got away with on Saturday night, but otherwise he was pretty much on point playing in a continual rain or mist or rain over in Indiana, and he only played for what, 2.5 quarters, and didn't even play really a half quarter in the second half. I'd say he was pretty good. He led Ohio State to touchdowns on all six of their first half possessions.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good record.
14 touchdowns, 3 weeks, no interceptions. That's not bad.
That's pretty good. And he's also shown the last several weeks he will run a little bit if need be. So as soon as they go to that a little bit more, this offense really explodes. And, you know, I'm really interested this week because I think Pitt State's got a pretty good defense. I don't think there's any question about this. This will probably be the best defense Ohio State has faced this year. While they got Clifford back last week, this past week, and still got beat. You know, a lot of people thought they got beat at Iowa because he got hurt, but he looks like he's still hurt. But this game this week is going to be very interesting. I'm not sure it's a harbinger of anything, but, you know, Ohio State is on a roll and Penn State is not.
Tim, always a pleasure. I'm in on Friday. You won't get bumped. Thanks, buddy.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. Those are the words I like to hear from you guys.
Goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye, Tim.
Hey, as Ilte goes, until you are.
Goodbye, Tim
May, Letterman Rowe. I'm in North Olmsted, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!